Welcome to the Medicine Box on CNBCTV18.com with me, your host, Ekta Batra. This podcast aims to provide an insight on pharma, health and wellness, from discussing trends in the industry to key issues in health with all the relevant experts. For the fifth series, the Medicine Box has tied up with OPPI, Organization of Pharmaceutical Producers of India, the industry body that represents global pharmaceutical companies. This series will host a range of guests from OPPI. It will share their perspective on a multitude of topics, from policy to opportunities in the industry and identifying areas for development and progress. Our guest on today's podcast is Sharad Tyagi, Managing Director, Boehringer Ingelheim India, and on the board of directors of OPPI. The topic today is refreshing research. Hi Sharad, welcome to the podcast.
Hi Ekta, thanks for inviting me. Happy to be here.
Well, let's start with the topic for today, refreshing research. The point about research is that the Western world seems to be powering ahead when it comes to research, but India probably has missed the bus when it comes to innovation and R&D investments. What is your view?
Thanks for asking me what's my view, and I wanted to just express that this is exactly what it is. These are my personal views.
Sure.
They do not reflect the views of either my organization or even OPPI broadly, although I'm quite sure that most people would align on most of the things I say. So it's interesting, the topic itself, you know, refreshing research. You can look at it by saying refreshing means it's something that refreshes.
Should we refresh research as a whole?
Or we are talking about the fact that should we refresh the research on its own?
Yeah.
So the question relating to Indian companies or the Indian environment and the global environment is much more related, I believe, to the life cycle of the healthcare environment itself. If you look back in India, you know, from the time of independence, the focus had been on a lot of critical diseases relating to infectious diseases.
Hmm.
We were talking about controlling infant mortality. We were worried about, you know, maternity-related deaths. We were talking about infectious diseases. We were talking about TB. We were talking about, even today, we are talking about malaria and dengue, etc. That changed quite a bit. Till recently now, we are talking about chronic diseases. We are talking about diabetes. We are talking about hypertension. We are talking about oncology also. I think in this entire process, the focus from even the government's perspective, even from the organization's perspective, was in using existing treatment options and existing therapies to manage and improve the life expectancy of the people.
Hmm.
Globally, that era had probably passed much earlier. They didn't have that many, infectious diseases when you're looking at the West and in the US or in Europe, where a lot of innovation happened. So their
when
focus
did this
on
innovation start for developing countries? For developed countries, when did this innovation or thrust towards innovation even start? How long back was it?
It's difficult to put an exact point. You know, if you go back into history, it all started with the way penicillin was discovered. Then we are talking about certain other diseases, especially in the cardiac area. Then we're talking about diabetes. We're talking about discovery of insulin. A lot of things happened due to, I would say, individuals or due to some specific people who are very keen on a specific disease area. But I think it's in terms of organized investments into innovation by the large global companies, probably about 3 to 4 decades back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how the whole thing is.
And India, when we came into the forefront, we were trying to survive. We were trying to increase our life expectancy.
Yes, we had so many issues. I don't have the exact number, but I think from the time of independence till now, the life expectancies has gone up from the low 40s to now about 68.5 years. And if you take the fact that India has some of the highest accident-related road deaths, some of the highest, oral cancer because of tobacco chewing, a lot of lifestyle-related things. This life expectancy can be improved much, much more, even if you don't look at pharmaceuticals or drugs, just by changing the environment and infrastructure that we have around us.
Mm.
So India could easily have been much more, but for the fact that there were several other factors which don't exist in the in the developed. I mean, you look at Delhi and the smog and the related respiratory diseases. It's very easy to see how, if that's not controlled, the impact it will have on the average life expectancy in Delhi itself, or similar other areas. So we are still battling with a lot of these issues, rather than someone standing up and saying, let's see how we can bring in genomics or how we can bring in a cure for some of the rare diseases, etc. That's not happening here.
Hmm.
So I would say that there's nothing wrong or right in it, but India has focused on using existing therapy options or disease mitigation options to improve the life expectancy. And as we now move into the NCD, or the non-communicable diseases area in India, the government focus is also shifting in many ways to say, okay, can we focus on stroke, can we focus on more diabetes, on oncology. Even in diabetes, I think about 48 to 50% diagnostic rate is there, which means that almost 48-50% of the people who are diabetics are not even diagnosed in time.
Mm-hmm.
There's late diagnosis, which means they're already on path to comorbidities, multiple issues with
but
diabetes.
That's
when
a, that's a different topic when it comes to India, because we have a lot to do when it comes to primary healthcare, building
Absolutely.
Infrastructure.
Yes.
That's a completely debatable topic.
Correct.
And, you know, something which we can discuss. But just talking about R&D, you spoke about how the Western world encouraged innovation 3 to 4 decades back. That's where all the innovation stems from.
Yes.
Do you think that maybe India lacks an ecosystem as a whole to encourage R&D? That we need to change the ecosystem, say, from the education up to jobs, or up to encouraging people to take on risks? Is that what is required,
so,
a change in the ecosystem?
The change in ecosystems also will happen based on what is perceived as the need in the country or in the environment that is there. It's like into a totally different industry. Decades back, the need was mobility. No one bothered about whether your vehicles are polluting or they are safe as per global standard. That consciousness is coming in now, almost two decades later, after the US, the US EPA in the 90s were already well advanced on in terms of the vehicular pollution importance, but we are realizing it much later.
Hmm.
I think same thing will happen here, that we have moved from infectious diseases to NCDs. Hopefully we will move much quicker to understand that the future need, when you want to continuously improve life expectancy, will be to start looking at some of the really modern solutions, technology and science-based solutions towards rare diseases, towards diagnostics. I mean, one of the things still in India is that diagnostics is so late, whether it is in cancer, whether it is in diabetes, whether it's in lung diseases.
Mm.
How do you really up your ecosystem here to even get much better diagnostics?
Mm.
And that is where science and technology, not just in the drug manufacture, but in the allied areas, from a lot of the AI-based companies are going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, near home diagnostics, every iPhone-based apps, there's so many apps now which are telling you we will monitor your heart rhythm, we will monitor your blood pressure, we will monitor your diabetes, etc.
That's
all
a different
those are
kind
happening.
Of research.
But it's all related. See,
yeah.
you can't at the end of the day, I as a human being am concerned about my health.
Hmm.
It doesn't matter whether it is coming from a pharma company, whether it's coming from a tech company, whether it is coming from an Anganwadi worker, etc. But somewhere, when you're talking about an ecosystem, the overall health has to be taken in a complete manner. You can't cut it into bits and pieces, which is what we tend to do. We are creating verticals, we are talking about devices separately, we are talking about pharma drugs separately, we are talking about diagnostics separately and all that. But at the end of the day, for a patient, it's all has to be integrated.
So if we have to take steps to increase the ecosystem to encourage innovation in India, say for the next decade, say for the next 2 decades, what are those key steps which need to be taken?
It's obviously based on policy. I think the healthcare policy that the government is developing and will develop has to include all these areas which are there. Patient groups need to be much more empowered and heard, because patients understand what really is happening.
Mm.
It's not just about just the drugs, it's not about just the doctor seeing them, it's about the overall need that the patient has, including managing the diseases. And these are things which will create the environment where people will start thinking that let's see what else we can do in healthcare. I think there are a lot of startups in India already which are using technology to deal with the issues that are there in our ecosystem today. They may not be nationwide, but there are people who are talking about using technology exactly in these, some of these areas in diagnostics. People are taking technology to look at remote, you know, access in remote areas for patients where there are no doctors. So we still have, I believe we still have that need in the country where access of healthcare, even for the basic, simple, primary care and simple things are not there. And you can't just leave that behind and say, let's jump to the
R&D,
to the R&D part of it.
So
R&D should happen.
You need a holistic policy which covers
everything.
Primary and secondary.
Absolutely.
And then eventually
Absolutely.
R&D is integrated into that. But
and
just
if it has to be led by, let's say, the private sector, because by and large, there are no government-based pharmaceutical companies or research companies. A lot of Indian companies are now global. You know, if you look at some of the biggest names, 60-70% of their turnover comes from the global sales, global operations. I think they will have to be in the forefront to start looking at the next generation of science and R&D that have to be, because they need to have the ambition to be global and not just look at generics or branded generics. And I can see that some of them are really trying that, you know. There are tie-ups between global companies.
It's
and
more search and development as opposed
research
to research.
Absolutely.
You're searching for drugs which can potentially become the next big bang drug, which you can probably acquire in license.
Absolutely.
That would probably be an opportunity which would maybe be more feasible.
That is one of the areas, absolutely more feasible. Also, the trends emerging worldwide are more and more that neither a large company can do every research itself. Nor can the government do everything itself. You need to have a lot of partnerships between the academia, between the private players, between the government, between the startups, because startups have great ideas, they can bring it to a certain stage, but beyond that, you need a lot of investments to take them to the you know, to the final stages. And there's so much happening, and most of the global companies are getting into these kind of alliances, and I think it's important that even Indian companies, if they have the vision, and there needs to be a vision to say where do I get to from a breakthrough perspective in future, some of such alliances are going to be very important. We should not be in a mindset saying let us do everything in India. You are a you're an Indian company, you don't have to do everything here. Okay, there's so much happening in China today in biologics. I mean, if we have to catch up,
that was
we should not be
point.
Hesitating from tying up with Chinese companies, right?
That was my next point.
Yeah.
What happens when we compare ourselves to China? We compare ourselves when it comes to APIs, when it comes to generics, but we are losing out when it comes to biotechnology, when it comes to China. Gene therapy, CAR T therapy, they've sped ahead compared to us.
Yes.
It might be slow, but we are nowhere close to where China is currently. So how do we narrow that gap, or do you think that we've missed the bus entirely?
So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Let's say that if China has already done certain amount of research, they're already ahead of us. We don't need to start doing the same things they did 10 years back and start doing it now. We should assume that's something where you can say miss the bus, or you can simply say that's not something that we should be doing now. But we need to have those alliances to say, okay, let's now start looking 20 years ahead. And that vision needs to be there. I hear a lot about APIs and API competitiveness. Let's face it, China has the natural resources strength to build the intermediates you need for APIs. You're not going to beat them at it. The idea is, how do you partner to make sure that can be benefited by us out here? It's not going to happen by protecting the Indian API industry. It's not going to happen by raising the customs duty, because at the end of the day, then your cost to patients will go up here. There need to be very strong alliances and partnerships to be able to deal with that. But much more importantly, someone has to say that if the average lifespan, now there's a difference in lifespan and life expectancy. Potential lifespan of a human being could say conceivably 100-110 years. People do live that long. We hear of the stray cases. What do you need to do to continuously improve the life expectancy so that it reaches a potential lifespan? And that is going to require everything. It's going to require your primary health, it's going to require diagnostics, it's going to require drugs, it's going to require innovation to say, can I do gene mapping to understand if I have potentially a threatening disease 20 years from now and can I fix it? All that is going to happen in the developed world. You have to start thinking 20 years ahead and say, if I want to bring all that in India, do I just depend on the global companies and then come up into a situation where I say I can't afford it because our healthcare system is different?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we start investing in our strong Indian way to say, let us find out what is suitable and what can be done here?
What can be done?
You know, everyone talks about the excellent cases we have in India relating to ophthalmology, relating to cardiac, etc. We can bring those models into innovation as well.
Mm-hmm. So basically, according to you, refreshing research, when we talk about it, it means research across the holistic healthcare system.
Absolutely.
It doesn't only mean innovation and R&D in terms of creating new drugs. So that's on India. You know, before we wrap up this conversation soon enough, Sharad, I wanted your view with regards to where R&D is globally. Because right now it takes 10 years or maybe longer to get a drug onto the market. And it costs over $2.5 billion on an average to probably even get that drug onto the market. And then you have issues such as maybe side effects of the drug which show up 10 years later. Do you think that drug development as a whole has just slowed down?
I don't think drug development has slowed down. There comes a point where you may say that for managing certain diseases, you don't need to invest any more into a similar kind of approach. You're looking at something different. Most global companies are now trying to focus on what we typically call as first-in-class drug development, which means that you're trying to get to unmet needs which no one else has managed before.
Mm-hmm.
For example, one of the areas where still there is a crying need for having something new is in the areas of Alzheimer's, in
yes.
the areas of Parkinson's, a lot of neurological diseases,
yes.
rare diseases. You know, even oncology.
So why is there no work done there?
A lot of work is being done there, but the traditional method of drug development has certain limitations. And I believe that is where artificial intelligence is going to come in and make a big difference. Every company is conscious that the time it takes and the cost it takes to develop a new drug means that you have to start off with a funneling process where you start with maybe 20 drugs in your pipeline, you end up with two or three. That's an inherently extremely expensive way of doing things.
So there are very few companies globally who actually even want to take that risk, right? I mean, invest
billions. Most of the global the top 20 global research companies are doing that. But they are constantly working on ways to improve the time it takes for a drug to come into the market and also the entire development cost. And some of the things people are doing relate, like I said, about tying up with tech companies, understanding artificial intelligence more, also focusing on which therapy areas they should be working on. Not everyone is working on everything. You can't do that. A lot of companies are focusing on saying, these are my
focus areas
and do that. And
so many companies are also running behind the same need, right?
Yes.
For example, they all are probably investing now in gene therapy much more than earlier. And then many of the areas which we spoke about will probably get left behind. Say, for example, maybe not Alzheimer's, but say you're talking about the super drugs against special antibiotics or maybe fungal medicines. These kind of areas haven't been researched for a very long period of time. So how does one fill that gap?
I think research will always fill a gap when there is a need.
So
sometimes
so much
they don't anticipate a need till it becomes a crisis. Now,
crisis.
As an example, you have the, you had
antibiotic
the scare of SARS or some other kind of viruses. You don't anticipate what's going to happen next. But I think it's not that drugs are not companies are not working on such solutions. They are. But by and large, a lot of the focus today is still in the areas of oncology, in the areas of rare
diseases.
Because
they give you higher margins, right?
It's not about margins. It's about, like I said, it's about you first tackled communicable diseases. Now you tackled NCDs. What next to continuously improve the quality of life and improve the overall life expectancies. Do you need a much different, drug for hypertension today? Probably the answer is no. With what you have today, there's enough to be there. Now, some areas which you can talk about, which could be that these are areas which are not relevant to the mature world. You know, if you're talking about, say, vaccine for dengue or for encephalitis, etc. Now, it is also, I would say, somewhat, incorrect to expect that an organization sitting somewhere in the U.S. with a focus on lifestyle diseases and oncology, etc., should say that, okay, let me try and solve a problem of dengue in India. I think Indians have to step up and do that. It's our problem as a nation, as a society, and we are dealing with it currently by prevention, focus on prevention. But do we have a vaccine? Can we actually partner with one of the global companies to say that, can you develop a vaccine? I mean, all those are things that we need to do. We can't just say that someone should do it for us. We have to take a little more ownership in these
Absolutely,
kind
of areas.
Absolutely, we have to take
areas.
Ownership. I think the Japanese take a lot of ownership about what's relevant to them.
So,
And we should do exactly the same.
Absolutely. I completely agree with your point. But if we had to have this conversation, say, 5 years hence, or maybe 10 years hence, what kind of changes do you think would have taken place in the R&D front, both globally as well as in India? What are the key milestones?
5 years is a pretty short time.
Too short.
Okay, but I would say in the next 10 years, we would see a lot of partnerships emerging, especially between the startups and the tech companies and the traditional pharmaceutical companies. There's already a lot of buzz around saying, you know, Google will be the next big pharma player, you know, because of the interest they're showing in health. They may not be making medicines, but they will have a lot of other innovative solutions. So everyone is aware of this. It's not that this is a great new idea that they know, and they know that this is not something that the traditional company will do. I think in the next 10 years, we will see a lot of alignment between different ways of managing healthcare, between tech companies, between startups, between academia, between governments, and with the pharma companies. Globally, governments are becoming extremely conscious of the fact that healthcare costs are rising. You know, except a few countries where the population is young, like India, most other countries are facing an increasingly aged population, which means they need to focus on costs relating to those areas. So there has to be this partnerships. No one can just function alone, develop a drug, and then try to convince people that it's worth it. So I see those trends happening, and they should happen in India also.
Okay. All right, Sharad. It's been a complete pleasure to listen into your views about research and what we can do going forward. And I'm sure we're going to have a part two where we can discuss this topic more in depth and more ideas in terms of how we can encourage R&D on a more holistic level in India. Thanks very much for joining in.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.